Please go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. So good to be here tonight and so good to have you. It's good to see people that I've known for a long time. I'm thankful that Jim was able to come and to lead the singing for us tonight. And that more of my family is here tonight. My parents are able to be here and a sister. And I know that there are cousins here. I'm so glad that everyone is able to be here tonight to be with us as we worship and sing and pray. And now we're going to open up the book that God has given us to see what His will is for us. We are talking tonight about God leading us. We had mentioned, as Brother Wendell mentioned again, that the theme of this lesson or these lessons are, when I hurt, God knows and cares. So God knows and cares, but then if He knows and He cares, what is He going to do to help us? So tonight our lesson is God leads. And we'll begin with the scripture to help introduce the lesson in John chapter 10, the first five verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he hath put forth all his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 7, I want to read just a couple more verses. Verse 7 says, verily I say unto you, is what Jesus said, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. So Jesus is our shepherd. We know that God leads. And Jesus, of course, is said to lead us in many ways. But we are going to talk about how that God leads us. How does He lead us? God has led many great men. He led Abraham, as we talked about last night. He led Abraham out of a land of where he was from to a land that he didn't know before. And by faith, Abraham went. He also led Moses, as Moses led the people out of the land of Egypt, out of Egyptian bondage. He helped him. He led him. We could talk about how that he led Daniel, how he led Joseph, how he led so many others in their lives as through his providence and through his word, they knew where to go. And they went in the right way. We're going to turn now to the book of Job, because God also led Job. But Job is a great example because he fits kind of into our theme about someone who was hurting. And we're talking about people who hurt. There are people who hurt because of physical illness. Some people live with physical illness every day that many of us do not know. We do not understand because they have to live in pain so much. And sometimes there are people who are hurting because of grief in their life. They have lost a loved one, and maybe they are lonely, and they have a hard time getting over that grief. And we're going to address that quite a bit tonight. And also, some are hurting because of emotional problems, maybe family problems that they might have and they might be experiencing. And some are hurting because of financial problems and situations that they have. And they are hurting because they don't know how they are going to get help. And last night, we addressed that problem by saying that, first of all, we need to pray and trust in God. But let's look at Job and see some examples about him. First of all, we find that, number one, God leads through the delightful times. And we're going to look at Job to see that he had many delightful times. As we begin the book, it tells us in verse 1 that he was a perfect and upright man, and one that feared God and turned away from evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was blessed with a big family. He loved them and he cared for them. Verse 3 says, his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the children of the East. He had riches. He was blessed with a great family. And God was leading him through the delightful times, and he even had great concern for his family. Look at verse 5. He was concerned for his family's spiritual welfare, it says, and it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and renounced God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually, he continually was concerned about his family's spiritual welfare. But he was doing good in delightful times. Even when things were good, he prayed for their spiritual welfare. That's a great example for us. We see that the Lord admired him. Look at verse 8. Says, and Jehovah said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and turneth away from evil. If you're familiar with the story of Job at all, you know that Job wanted to go ahead and see if Job would turn away from God. He told God, as they had a conversation, he said, well, the reason that that Job is following you is because you kind of put a hedge about him. You made everything so good and you're protecting him. But if he didn't have all that, then he would go against you. Well, that was a challenge, of course, to God and to Job. So God kind of took up the challenge for Job. Job didn't know it, though. He began to suffer, but Job didn't know why. We know why, because when we read the story, we can see that. But Job did not know about that. And also Job knew that that God was helping him in these times. Look at verse 21. In verse 21 it says, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Jehovah gave, and Jehovah hath taken away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah. He didn't take any credit for him of himself that he got where he was as far as all of his riches. He said, God gave that to me. So he knew that God was helping him in the delightful times. And now as we look further, let's jump over to Job 29. As Job is beginning to talk to others about his situation. Over there, just quickly, verses 2 and 3 of Job 29. He says, oh, that I were as the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me. So he refers back to that. He says, I know God was helping me in the delightful times. Verse 3. When his lamp shined upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. So he gives the credit to God for leading him in the good and blessed times of his life. So he knew that. He gave credit to God. God watched over him. Well, what about us? Do we know that God is watching over us? Let's turn quickly over to Matthew 6. As we look at these points, we're going to make application to us along the way. In Matthew chapter 6, we know that Jesus, as he was recording or as he was speaking his Sermon on the Mount, which we have recorded, we find that he was addressing a problem which people have as far as worrying about things, and he was showing his providential care over his people. In Matthew chapter 6, he's actually telling all of us that we have it pretty good. We are pretty well off. He says in verse 28, consider the lilies. I'm jumping down in the middle of the verse. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Let's jump down to verse 30. But if God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So he's saying, if God is going to take care of these other things, isn't he going to take care of you even more? He's more concerned about you. So he's saying that God is concerned. up in verse 26 at the end, he says, are not you of much more value than they? So there he's saying, we don't need to worry. And we see that God is taking care of us. But do we know that? Do we believe it, that God is leading us through the delightful times that we have of our life? So if we're blessed, do we give credit to God? Job did. So it is the Lord then that leads. It is the Lord that leads us beside the still waters, as we referred to Psalm 23 last night. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's the one that takes care of us. He leads through His Word. He leads through His providential care. He helps us to get through the difficult times of life. So it is the Lord then that was taking care of Job. He was the one that was leading the different ones that we referred to in the Bible that we know about, that we read about, men of faith. So God leads through the delightful times. But now let's notice that God also leads through the difficult times. Number two is He leads through the difficult times of our life. As we go back to Job, we notice in Job chapter 1 and 2, I referred to the fact that God and Satan had a conversation with one another. God said, have you not seen or consider my servant Job? And then, of course, that's where the devil steps in and says, well, yeah, he's doing that only because of the fact that you're helping him so much. And so God allows Satan to do certain things that don't touch him, but you can do other things, cause other things to happen to him. And he's not going to turn against me, even if you do. So there was, when you look at the story from verse 13 down to verse 19, in that particular section, we see that four different messengers came to Job. Every one of them delivered bad news. The first one, and this kind of, I think, tells us, why did we hear that Job had all of those oxen and all of those sheep and all those camels? Because we're going to see what he was going to lose. And then now we hear that he loses them. Notice, verse 14 says, there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I, and only I, am escaped to tell you, to come and report to you this. So what happens, first of all, he loses all of the oxen, the donkeys, and the servants that were taking care of those animals. He loses them. Well, maybe to Job, well, that's, you know, that is something, a loss, but maybe that doesn't, you know, he can handle that. But then not too long after that, and we don't know, we're not told how much time, and it almost sounds like a few minutes later, but maybe more time passed. But then he comes to hear, actually it says another, verse 16. I have these marked in my Bible so I can see that there was a messenger in verse 14. And then another came, another bearer of bad news, and he says the fire of God, that many people think was probably lightning, says, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I'm the only one who has escaped to come and be able to tell you this. So here's another tragedy that happens to Job. And we kind of wonder, how's that hitting him? He's had two sets of messengers come, or two messengers come and give him some bad news. And we start thinking, how would you respond if that happened, something similar happened to you? And then down in verse 17, while he was yet speaking, so here's the idea where we get, it's like right then. So it's all just one right after another. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made three bands and fell upon the camels and have taken them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I am the only one who's escaped to come and tell you. So right away it happens. There's three things that three messengers, three words of bad news, and then here comes the fourth. It's going to get worse for Job. While he was yet speaking, verse 18, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I'm only escaped to tell you. So here, look at what Job has lost. It looks like he's lost all of the animals that he had. And to him, that was a source of great wealth. And he lost, says the house was destroyed, the oldest brother's house, and then all of his children were killed. That would hit us pretty hard if something like that happened. But then if you go over to chapter 2 and verse 7, we find after, I'm not going to look at all of the details as far as the conversation between God and Satan. But Satan says, yeah, well, he did okay. He just lost things that he had. He lost his family. But he says, I still think he would if something happened to him. And God says, okay, you can touch him, but you can't take his life, but you can do something to cause him to have a pain and suffering. So now in verse 7, so Satan went forth from the presence of Jehovah and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself therewith, and he sat upon the ashes. Now we know that later on, of course, his wife even said, why don't you just curse God and die? Maybe she was trying to help him, or it almost seems like she was kind of doubting and saying, oh, why don't you just give up on God? He's not helping you. So we don't know too much to think about her. We kind of wonder about her. Was she encouraging or discouraging? She may have been encouraging later on. We don't know. But we know that later on they had more children. So as we wonder now, what would happen if something, or what would happen to us if something like that happened to us, that happened to Job? Could you imagine anything that would be similar? What would happen to us? Let's just take a few minutes here and imagine. What if one day you wake up and you find out, you look out, you go get ready to go to work, and you go out there and your car's gone. It was stolen. That may have happened to some. That's pretty bad, but you can, you know, you're going to have to deal with it, and you can make other arrangements, you can get to work. But then let's just say that you get to work, and then you're there just a few minutes, and you get a phone call from somebody, and they say, you know what, your house just burned down. We don't know what happened, but your house, it's burned down. And then, so, you know, that's going to be, oh, I lost my car, and I lost my house, in just a matter of a couple of hours. And then before too long, the day's going by, and let's just say that now the stock market crashes and you end up losing a lot of your investments that you had. And then by the end of the day, your boss comes and tells you, you know what, we're not going to be able to keep you anymore because of the situation with our finances, and we're going to have to let you go. So then in one day you've lost your car, you've lost your house, you've lost your financial situation that you had. You lost your job, your savings. What else could happen? That's probably where Job was. What else could happen to me? And then pretty soon, something happened to his family. So let's say the story even gets worse. Before you get home, you get a call and say, you know what, we have to tell you that your children were killed in a bus accident today. You might think, well, that couldn't happen. You know, that's too many things to happen. Surely God would not allow that to happen. But what I'm trying to get us to see is that that's what happened to Job. All of these bad things, and let's just say a couple of weeks later, you start seeing some things where you're feeling that something's wrong physically. You end up going to the doctor. You find out you have cancer. That's what happened to Job. Maybe not cancer, but he had pain and suffering. He had things that were plaguing his life. Now, how did he feel about God? How would you feel about God? How would I feel about God after all? If all those things happened, wouldn't you kind of think at the end of the day, the end of the week, that God has turned on me? Why would God allow that to happen? And that's what people ask many times when there's a tragedy in their life. Why did God allow that to happen to me? Why did he allow that? So what are we going to say? How would that happen? God, through suffering, led Job a great man to be even a greater man. Let's turn now over to the toward the end of Job, in Job chapter 42. In Job chapter 42 at verse 2. This is the end of the book. We want to know what happened at the end. There's a lot going on in between, but we're going to go to the end of the story for our lesson tonight. It says in verse 2, Job said, and answered God, he says, I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be restrained. He said, I know that you've got something, you had something planned all along, and you had a purpose in my life. So that's what he was thinking. Look at verses 5 and 6. I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job ended up being even a greater man when bad things happened to him. God is not the source of difficult times, but he will lead us through them. And Job had the faith to realize that God was going to help him get through all of his problems and that somehow in the end everything would work out all right. God will comfort us. In Romans 15, verse 4, the Bible says, through comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, concerning God, that he is the God of all comfort. Also, the Bible says in Psalms 147 and verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. So God will lead us through the difficult times of our life. So he providentially leads us to make us better. He strengthens our faith. He helps us even to bring someone to the Lord. So he helps us in many different ways that sometimes we just don't realize and don't understand. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. I'll just refer to some verses rather quickly. But there Paul says, as he's writing to the Romans, and not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations. This is Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. We rejoice in our tribulations. That means in our difficult times, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness, and steadfastness approvedness, and approvedness hope. And then even James, as he said, that the trials that we go through, the bad things that we go through, that proves us, that helps us to get even better. So it makes us better to go through some difficult times in our life. In 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he careth for you. What happens when difficult times come, and what our attitude should be, is not, how can I get out of this? Notice what I'm saying at this point. Not, how can I get out of this? That's what a lot of people say. How am I going to get out of this mess? How am I going to get out of all these problems that I'm in? The right response should be, what can I get out of this? What can I learn from this? What can I do through these bad times to make it better? What good can I take from the bad that I've gone through? And many of us can look back at things and situations that we've been in our life. We can look back and say, you know what, I didn't like that time. I was having difficult times. There were some problems that I had, but then I look back and say, you know what, if I hadn't had those difficult times, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I wouldn't have learned as much. I wouldn't be as strong. I wouldn't be able to help others as much. So what we need to do is say, what can I get out of this? The third point in our lesson, not only does God lead us through the delightful times, and not only does he lead us through the difficult times, but he leads us through death. It's a little bit different than the others, but it's the idea of thinking about death, that's part of it. We're going to look at two situations about it. Thinking about our own death. How are we going to make it through thinking about our own death, and maybe when, especially when we get to the point where we know that maybe we're not going to have so much longer to live? How am I going to get through that? Over the difficult times that I may be thinking about and going through, if I'm having pain and suffering, how am I going to get through it? And then also, how are we going to get through when we have to deal with the death of a loved one? And that's some of the things that make people hurt today. And that's our theme, is God knows and He cares when we hurt. Let's look at Job again. Let's look at Job chapter 3 and verse 11. Job realized, and we need to realize, that everyone is going to die. Everyone will die. It's something common to man. And Job said in Job 3, verse 11, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when my mother bare me?" He's just thinking, you know, it would have been better off if I just died instead of going through the problems that I'm going through now and the pain and suffering. But let's now go over to Job chapter 19. Job 19, verses 25 through 27. And you'll recognize these words because we sing these words in some songs that we sing. Job 19, verse 25. "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and at last He will stand up upon the earth, and after my skin, even this body is destroyed. Then without my flesh shall I see God, whom I, even I, shall see on my side. And mine eyes shall behold, and not as a stranger. My heart is consumed within me." Somehow Job knew that everyone was going to die, and he knew that he was going to die, but he knew also that he was going to have a better life after this one. Job also is one that asks, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Of course, Jesus answers that with the resurrection. But we can see here then that we have the hope of something better, and that we will be able to see God. So the idea of God leading us through death, He informs us through His Word that we are going to be taken care of if we are obedient. Job had faith that God would lead him through death to see Him face to face. We sing such songs as, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone." We know that God is going to help us through death. And we know that the angels carried Lazarus to the bosom of Abraham in Luke chapter 16, verse 22. Well, God has promised that the life after this one will be far better. In Philippians 1, verse 23, Paul said, "But I am in a strait betwixt the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for it is very far better." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." That means they only last for a short time. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." So what we need to do is think about not just the physical things of life, the pain and suffering that we may be going through, the hard times that we're going through, whatever that may be. We need to think, is this going to help me to get to heaven? That's what Job seemed to have in mind. He said, "I know my Redeemer lives, and I'll get to see Him face to face." In Romans 8, verse 18, the Bible says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us ward." And then in Psalms 115, verse 16, the Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." We have something to look forward to, and God's going to help us as we read His Word to be comforted by that, and He'll help us through His providence also. Bible says, or I'm sorry, one of the songs we sing says, "And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me." Well, we've seen these three points, and I'm going to say a little bit more about the last one. I said something about death, making it through our death. God leads us through the delightful times of our life, all the good times. He's the one helping us. God leads us through the difficult times of our life, and He even leads us to be prepared for death. But now, what about the times that people have to go through when they have been with someone for so long and they lose them, a husband or a wife, or maybe even a child, or even a parent, or a brother or sister, some people have a difficult time with dealing with the grief. What I'd like to do now, just to address that point, just for a few moments, is go to the book of Psalms. Last night we looked at Psalms chapter 23 toward the end of the lesson, but tonight I would like to look at Psalms 13. It's a short psalm. And we could probably title this psalm, When I Just Don't Understand. When I just don't understand some things, especially losing a loved one, what's going to happen to me? How am I going to get through it? Well, if we notice in these verses, we're going to notice, let's look at the first four verses. The fact is that I will grieve. I'm going to grieve if I lose a loved one. And this is really one of the things that we have to deal with, because a lot of people hurt. And I know a lot of people, I know women that are older, they still are thinking about their husband that they lost. And some people think, well, you know, that's been several years. But still, they're going to grieve. And they're going to continue to feel that way. And some have, as I said, have lost different members of the family, whether it be parents or children. They still have that problem. And let's notice, as we look at some things here quickly, if you do not feel these things, let's notice feelings that I can expect. I'll read verses 1 through 4 quickly, and then we'll glean a few things out of this. How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Jehovah my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest mine adversaries rejoice when I am moved. We'll save the last two verses for a few minutes from now. But that first point is, here's concerning my problems. First of all, I'm probably going to feel that my problems are unending. They're unending. He keeps saying, how long? How long do I have to deal with this? And that's what some people feel about grief. How long? I can't get over it. How long is it going to be with me this way? Well, we've already read 2 Corinthians 4:17, but four times the psalmist in this particular chapter says, how long? Showing that it's unending to us. We may feel that way. But remember the verse we read already in 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. We just have to have the faith that things will get better, and that we, especially if we've lost a loved one who we know is a Christian, we're going to get to see them again if we remain faithful. And then that's concerning my problems. They feel unending. But what about my feelings concerning God? How do I feel about God? Well, I might feel that God is uninterested. Uninterested. Why? Because notice he says, will you forget me? Will you forget me forever? And I know that the psalmist may not be talking about grief in the same way that we're thinking about it. I'm using these words, though, to help us understand this. So some people might think that God's uninterested. Why is God doing this to me? Why doesn't God care that I hurt? In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, we have the promise where it says, I will in no wise fail thee, neither in any wise forsake thee. And then what about just concerning life? Notice in verse 2, we find here the attitude of being unhappy. So we have the idea of uninterested, God's uninterested, that my troubles are unending, but also I may just feel unhappy. Verse 2, it almost sounds like he's talking to himself. He says, I take counsel in my soul. I keep talking to myself and wondering how long this is going to be. And then it says, I'm filled with sorrow. So I'm unhappy because of the sorrow. But 1 Peter 1 and verse 8 says, whom not having seen you love, on whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory. so we can have joy in knowing that one day we're going to get to heaven and all the sorrow and all the bad things, all the tears are going to be gone. They're going to be wiped away. So that's our hope. And that's what's going to comfort us. And then finally, what about prayer? We pray and pray, but we think that it's unsuccessful. Our prayer has just been unsuccessful. Because of verse 3 says, "Consider and answer me, O Jehovah my God." Maybe he's prayed and prayed, but God doesn't seem to answer. And we need to realize that our prayers will be answered, and maybe not the way we expect and not as quick as we expect, but God says that he will watch over us. So the solution is actually found in verses 5 and 6. "But I have trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto Jehovah because he hath dealt bountifully with me." So from verses 5 and 6, we see we need to believe. We must believe. And we show that by trusting God. I've trusted you, and now I'm going to sing. What does that mean? It means I believe that I'm going to give glory to God. Praises to God. I'm going to sing anyway of how grateful I am for all the blessings that I have received. And that's what's going to help us to overcome any grief that we have in our life. Continue to thank God for all the good things that we have had and all the good times we have had to enjoy with our loved ones, and always sing to him and give him the glory so that one day we can see God and that we can see our loved ones who have gone before us. So we've looked at just briefly tonight some things concerning God leading us through the delightful times, through the difficult times of life, and there may be many difficult times that we're going to have to deal with in our life, but God is going to help us if we allow him to help us through his word and through his providential care, and realize that we need to ask, what can I get out of this? What can I do to turn this bad thing into a good thing? And then God will lead us through death, our own, the thoughts of our own death, and then the grief that we might be experiencing from those that we have lost. Well, God does lead us. I'm going to close with one last verse. If you want to turn with me quickly, a verse that you are very familiar with, most likely. But Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Now, God will lead us, but we have to do something. We have to be sure that we are willing to let him lead us. In the words of Jesus in Matthew 16:24, it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So we need to be able to sing the song that we're going to sing in just a moment and really mean it. Where he leads me, I will follow. Can we truly say that in our lives? Where he leads me, I will follow. Even if it's through the good times, I'm going to give him the credit. And I'm always going to put him first, even if I'm blessed and maybe I get to the point where I feel like I don't really need God, but we better not ever feel that way because God is the one blessing us. And then through the difficult times of life, realize that he's going to help me through them. And then even through death, he will help us. So God leads. Will you follow? We need to follow him. If you need to obey the gospel tonight, we encourage you to do so. If you need to make your life right and begin to follow him again, if you've left him, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.